This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the W12 podcast. We are on episode 8 of the season. Thanks for tuning in and listening. We're here again. Another two games and another two defeats. Last night was tough, but we'll get into all that in a minute. Just quickly introduce who we've got on the pod. We've got a full pod. Who would have thought it, eh? Normally we only get a full pod after a win or two, but everyone's on. I'd imagine for a bit of a moan. Even Brad's grace does with his presence. How you doing, mate? I say that I wasn't here last week and you were, which is the first time ever.
Right. It's the first time Brad's done two in a row, isn't it?
I think so. I know. He's like Stoltar, isn't he? He is. He's like Clark.
It was blinding last week without Ben, to be honest, but he's back. But yeah, it's good to be back on and I can't wait to dig into, you know, QPR.
Yeah, that's what we're here to discuss, mate. Dunk, hello. How was last week's pod, mate?
Yeah, it was good, mate. I enjoyed hosting. I had some nice feedback from a few people. I mean, it was my mum and dad, but...
How was he?
Yeah, good lad. It was good speaking to him. Like, he seems like he's not one of those kind of players who could, like, get us out of this shithole and of a mess, but he needs everyone else to be on his level, doesn't he? That's the problem.
We got Chris, nice to meet you, mate, on Saturday. We actually had a face-to-face.
Yeah, that was... It does sound a bit weird, but that was the highlight of the day, wasn't it?
It was.
Yeah, that was at least positive and something to take away from the day. But, we'll crack on with everything else that's bringing us down shortly.
And Jack is back. Jack, you've been around the world, have you, on holiday? Or I feel like that's what you're always doing.
I was away last week. I was in Crete, a nice little break. Enjoyed listening to the pod on my sunbed. It got me so positive. I thought, I was predicting a win. And that came back to bite me. But good to be back. Hopefully we can. It's another therapy session.
Yep. Okay. So let's, like I said, two defeats. We'll go and focus on Coventry first. I was there. Just a quick summary. It was, I think we started really poorly. We grew into the game a little bit. We had a bit of a spell like we do for sort of 15, 20 minutes where we knocked the ball around half decent. We created a couple of chances. A good save from the keeper from Dykes' header. In at half time, I think the warning signs were there for Coventry. They got in behind us quite a few times and they just didn't do anything with it. That Sims looked like he was struggling a little bit. We needed to get the ball to Cher, keep getting it to him. And in the second half, I think Coventry came out and they got a bit narrower and played in between the fullback and in between the Salter and Kenneth Powell and Smith and Kakai. And they just kept doing that all game. They nullified Chair by bringing in their fullbacks. And I just don't think we reacted. And before we knew it, we were 3-0 down. I don't want to take too much of the summary, Chris, but what was your view?
Yeah, I mean, pretty similar, to be honest. It was a half where, in terms of the first half, we had that, one, I'm not even sure it was a great opportunity. It was just a great save. But I was up. I thought that was in. But again, we're just getting to a half time where we're like, our level needs to increase by at least two gears here to look like we're going to do anything. Like Coventry weren't, yeah, they got in a few times, but we weren't really under too much pressure first half. I felt both teams kind of playing, well, I say both teams playing within themselves. Coventry were playing within themselves. I think that was just our normal level. and then, like you say, yeah, they turned it on a little bit. Yeah, the first goal was a bit of luck, I would say. Silly free kick to give away. Ball comes in. It could bounce anywhere. Bounces perfect for Ellis Sims. He slots it away. Suddenly, their number nine striker is, his confidence is then up. He's then playing a lot better. Second goal came so quickly. And I mean, as soon as we can see one, you know we're going to lose because we can't come. We don't show anything like we can come back. So as soon as it's two, it's like, okay, this is definitely game over. And I think most of the fans were sort of out of the stadium by the time we actually scored a goal. From top goal scorer Kenneth Powell with three goals, our left back. Great. Right.
How was that not a penalty? I'm flabbergasted by how I could.
Yeah, I don't like it. Didn't we? Most of our players didn't seem to massively react about it either. He didn't give a foul. He didn't give offside. He didn't say it was a foul beforehand. He just gave a goal kick. And I mean, I think by that stage, Armstrong had already been booked because he got. Or did he get booked after that? Straight after.
He got booked straight after, didn't he? I think he was just very, very cross that he didn't get the decision and just went and patted someone.
I think we'll touch upon Armstrong later on, but that element of his game, i.e. needless yellow cards, really needs to stop doing it. I don't know how many he's on now.
But on four.
There you go. Yeah. So one more silly yellow card and he'll miss the game. I've got no idea how that wasn't a penalty. Sort of doesn't seem to have been talked about either. I mean, yeah, maybe it was just outside, but the ref probably going to give a penalty. It's so close. Could we have got back in it? I don't know.
It's a red card, is it? Is it not a red card? Because if it's,
if it's in the box, wouldn't have been a red.
Double jeopardy, isn't it?
Yeah.
I think because he went to play for the ball, didn't he? He did try to kick the ball, the keeper, and kicked Armstrong. So it goes as he went for the ball. So the double jeopardy rule kicks in. Obviously, I couldn't get to the game on Saturday. I watched it via a stream. And you can clearly see the referee looks at the Coventry player as Armstrong gets taken out. Like, he's looking at the player that's on the floor. He's not followed the game. He's not followed the ball. And he's completely and utterly missed it. And it's just frustrating. I know we're going to talk about referees later, but we don't seem to be getting the rubber green with certain decisions. But I can't believe that Lino.
And Chris was behind him. He got close to him. He was the worst linesman I have ever seen. He was nowhere near up with play. Right, nowhere near. It was like when a ball came over or through. It was like it was caught him in surprise, and he was chasing back and he hadn't got a clue what was going on. But you're right, how is the linesman not seeing that if the referee hasn't? It's the same with the red card last night. The liner's on that side, right? How has he not seen that?
Yeah, so poor. He gave hardly anything during the whole game. I mean, to miss multiple offsides, gave fouls that weren't fouls, didn't give fouls when we were down in that area. It's just, yeah, I kind of think there's almost no point talking about how bad officials are in the Football League because they're never ever going to get better, and it's like a constant, you just go in a cycle of moaning about them every week and nothing will ever be done.
I suppose you could get VAR, but even that's shambles, isn't it? Let's be honest.
if they introduced it at this level, within pod two of that season, we'd be going, VAR's crap, get rid of it. We scored a goal, but we couldn't celebrate. And
I guess you get the next, like the second level of VAR people, don't you? Do you know what I mean? A bit like the referee's standard is poorer. You get the poorer VAR people. It kind of filters down, doesn't it? Jack, I'm sure you've got some mad stats floating around in your head or in your computer.
Well, it's definitely the headline ones that jumped out to me following the defeats to Sunderland and Coventry. those two teams have won more games at Loftus Road in 2023 than QPR. They've won twice in 2023 and we've won once against Watford. And then Blackburn up this weekend. They've already won once at Loftus Road this season. So they could be joining those two teams. So that is just like a staggering like statistic for me. I just can't get my head around how we're so poor at home. Never seen it in my lifetime supporting the team. Right now, we're 10 without a win at home. And Dave Barton, I follow on Twitter, he pointed out that it's got to be up there with one of our records. And I looked it up and it's our joint longest run without a home win in our history in competitive games. So if we don't beat Blackburn, that's a club record, longest winless streak at home. So, it's 1 win in 20 home games, 9 defeats at home and 12 for Ainsworth since he joined. We haven't scored more than once in a home game since October 2022 versus Wigan. So that's coincides with that 20-game run in which we've just picked up one win. And it's bleak. It's just bleak. All of it is bleak and depressing. And it's, there's no positives about this right now. You try and you look and but there just isn't. We're not creating chances. We're making mistakes at the back. The right side, injuries, suspensions, the right side's being targeted every game. The sooner this Reggie Cannon can come in, get up to speed, and hopefully he makes a difference because Kakai needs, Smith and Kakai not quite working on that right-hand side. Again, we're going to touch on Kakai, which I don't want to, tread on your toes there, Ben. But it's a weakness that teams are going for now in each game, and they're under pressure. I watched the game from a nice sunny spot in Crete, but it was quite depressing in the end watching that. But Blackburn worries me. I know we'll talk about Leeds in between, but can you see a home result judging on the home form? I can't.
No, neither can I. But
take a bit of luck.
I guess I'll just, because obviously we've all covered commentary there, haven't we? So I'll just touch on last night's performance of Leeds. I'll start with that. Well, it's probably the most one-sided 1-0 you'll ever see, to be honest. It was all Leeds, but I don't know how we held it to 1-0 that whole game. But like Jack said, he pointed out there, we just, down the right, every team's coming for us down that right, and we are struggling big time. It's our weakest link.
It's not just down the right, though. It's in between the gaps between the left centre-back and the right centre-back. I know it is more down the right, but we often do still get caught in Kenneth Powell and Fox and territory. I just think we get away with it sometimes a bit more.
I thought Clark sort of played well last night, to be honest. Probably if I had to pick someone, I thought Clark sort of had a good game. But with the ref decision with Begovic as well, that was just madness. The ball clearly went out, for their goal. Same again, if we had VAR, would that see that? But whose fault was that? Was that Kakai's or was it Smith's? You can 50-50, well, really.
I get the ball going out of play a bit, but at the same time, you play to the whistle. You taught that at junior level, you don't stop unless the whistle goes. So it's still, we had chances to get in positions to stop that attack and we didn't. Like you said, Clark Salter had a good game, but he was at fault partly for their goal because he was out of position in the middle of the box.
But that goes to show, though, that at the start, our positioning didn't look too bad, right? We looked a bit, first 2 or 3 minutes, we did look all right, like a shape, right?
Two or three minutes.
But after that, we went to shit, let's be honest. Lyndon Dykes was covering the left. Kakai went over to the left.
What was Dykes' position last night?
Exactly. Where was Dykes playing? He was here, there, everywhere. And then at one point, Kakai was over in the left.
He just went on a kamikaze run, didn't he, a few times?
Yeah, he went to pressure someone in the middle of the park, like in their defensive midfield position. And then,
I just want to quickly talk about one thing about Coventry. It feeds into Leeds anyway. It's Chris Willock. I saw today that from West London News reporting that he was completely dropped, right? So there's no injury or anything. It was in the, I don't know if anyone's seen it. They're saying that he was dropped similar to Ethan Laird. It's literally in the last half an hour come out. Doug, what? He was terrible on Saturday. I've got to say, I don't know if Chris agrees, but he couldn't do anything. He was trying, I guess, but he just it, it, he did nothing, right? What are we going to do with him, mate? I think
you've got two choices, haven't you? We either get a manager in and replace Ainsworth, who's going to get the best out of Willock, whether that's putting his arm around him, whether that's playing to a different style, or you back Ainsworth and you get rid of Willock and you drop him to the development squad and you don't play him again until January and you just let him go for absolute peanuts.
Problem you've got
this
with that,
is literally a standoff.
There's a problem with that, though, isn't there? Because who's going to come in for Willock? Right now, who is going to come in for Willock? Let's be honest. Really, no club's going to come in for him. And I agree, we shouldn't start him, should we? Because he's just been woeful. But Ainsworth hasn't got the better of him. But who's to say another manager was to come in and get the better of him? And we can't just keep saying we need someone to come and get Willock. We need someone to get the best out of him. Either we just lump it or leave it, we let him go. But we're going to let him go for peanuts. That's the problem. He's going to go for nothing.
He's going for nothing now anyway.
I
can see the club, if they stick with Ainsworth, I can see the club tearing up his contract and shipping him out in January for nothing. Or hoping that they can get a loan fee for him. Because he doesn't fit Ainsworth's system. Ainsworth and him clearly don't get on. There's obviously an issue there. And he's just not going to play.
Do you think it's down to his injury, though? You know, because he was unbelievable. He was probably our highest asset at one point. And then he got injured. And then what's happened?
I think his injuries were nasty, weren't they? One of them was a pretty severe tear of the hamstring, maybe off the bone or whatever it was. And then he had surgery and then he aggravated it, didn't he, a couple of times. So I think he's lost confidence in his body. And he needs to run a games to get that back, but we can't afford to have a passenger just to supplement that right now. And Ainsworth clearly requires players as a bare minimum to hashtag empty the tank. And, you know, Willock don't really want to do that. So, well, maybe he does. Has he ever been that sort of player? He's not, to me, I don't, even under Warburton and Bill, didn't strike me as a running around headless chicken. He was there in the final third doing his damage with Chair. Now, I mean, Ainsworth, talking about the Ainsworth system, what we're playing now is not an Ainsworth system. I think it was a compromise after Watford to fit certain players in and to try and do more with the ball, but we're doing nothing with the ball. We're not, you know, we're starting off around the back, but we're just getting rid of it. You know, we've got no one. Like I thought at Leeds, I said to you in the chat, in our WhatsApp chat, that body language looked off. Players, no one's showing for the ball. Yeah, the striker's there, but then there's no one around them. When Chair got the ball on a couple of runs, there was no player showing for it other than maybe Kenneth Powell at times. Just looked odd. It looked off. And it just smacks of players maybe not believing in themselves and believing in the system, maybe.
That's what happens when you have a manager who says at the start of the season or before the season starts that he's scared of this division, scared of the teams in it. And he's come up against a Premier League outfit in Leeds. And he's obviously not got the team set up right. There was no fight. There was no desire. That comes down to the manager. They came out like deer in headlights and they were scared to even put a glove on Leeds last night.
But he said that, didn't he not? Let's be honest. He said this about Watford, right? They're going to be up there for the top of the championship. Do you know what I mean? He said this about every team. And we can't just keep saying that week in, week out. We're going to get something this weekend. We're at home. We, you know, the boys have been good on the grass. We're going to get something. But it's nothing proving. You got Smith down there, bless him. He's running about. His deliveries are terrible. Yesterday, where's he got to put good cross in the box? I know Willock might be there. He might not be doing what Willock used to do, right? But I guarantee he might put a better ball in that box. Final third.
Yeah, agree with that. And also the issue with the system as well. When Smith gets down that wing, he's only got Lyndon Dykes to cross to.
Exactly. Yeah.
You know this. It would help if the cross stayed in play. I get that. But, you know, there's still just one guy in there. And maybe Smith's joy at Leighton Orient last season was cutting him from the left, albeit League Two level. He looked more dangerous coming in off the left and doing that. But then we have Willock and Chair who like to do that. So, yeah, I mean, we're not playing with an out-and-out 10, I think. But we have a few number 10s in our, you know, our squad. I'd like to see Chair, you know, in that position maybe, get more involved. We're not getting him on the ball enough. And when we do, there's no plan, is there? Doesn't seem to be a plan in place.
Watch how deep he has to come to get the ball.
And I say that every week.
The absolute number one thing that goes that your best player could not be getting the ball in the left back spot just because he's like, I'm not getting the ball otherwise. This is ridiculous. If you can't get me the ball in the final third or like past the halfway line, he has to come back there. And it's like, he's not going to beat four men. Or he's got to beat four men just to get to the halfway line.
Like, he's got to do something absolutely outrageous to get an opportunity there. That's what it feels like.
Yeah,
I've always said that him and Willett, they don't get the ball enough in and around the box, right, where they're going to hurt teams. They don't get around. I mean, what is Willett going to do if he's not doing that? Because anyway, I know he was touching his legs all game on Saturday, like stretching, and he looked like he was getting injured and stuff like that. But just quickly on Leeds, what frustrates me with Ainsworth is that, and someone mentioned it on Twitter recently, was plan B is plan A. There is nothing else that we do other than the Willock and Armstrong swap, bring Folly on every now and again. And nothing
changes. That's what he's got, though, isn't it?
Nothing changes for the whole 90 minutes. Tactically, what do you want from someone? And one reason why we've never come back from a result is because he can't. Where's the tactical?
But answer me this question:
come on and change something, change the formation, change it in game. That someone like a Warburton always used to do really well was being able to know what was coming before it was coming, or change it after going 1-0 down, not afraid to change it. Right,
well,
playing people with different positions. I know it didn't always work, but
that's what happens when you have a tactically savvy manager and a manager who's got no tactics at all.
Yeah, but he could change that, right? I don't know if you disagree with me here, but. He could change that quite easily, right? Put Armstrong on the bench, bring him on in 60 minutes. There's your tactical change. I know Armstrong yesterday, you know, no disrespect to him. I know fans love him and he is a good player, but he's running around like, what does he do? What was he doing yesterday at Leeds? He looks lost. He was offside. He got the ball. He was giving the ball away. He just looks lost up there. And I know that's due to experience. I get that. But if he's not got the, I know we've got to keep putting him in to get that experience, but a game yesterday could have done with Sinclair Armstrong coming on 65 minutes. Maybe you probably say it wouldn't change the game, but that's a tactical change. We bring a Domer on.
Yeah, I think we've said for the last couple of pods, there needs to be a point where Armstrong is. It's not even he's rested. It's just right. We're gonna change the system here. And as you come on as a sub, because we know he's going to be so dangerous off the bench. But I mean, we tried that against Coventry. Well, did Armstrong start? Honestly, I've forgotten.
No, he didn't, did he?
No, because Armstrong was on the bench. Yeah, he came on, didn't he, Armstrong?
Yeah, so like we tried it, but I said it's all of you. That doing that at home is very different to doing it away. If he comes on at home and we're losing, teams have retreated already 20 yards by that stage. Exactly. So there isn't the space in behind. The away games is the time to bring him on later as a sub. And then we go, right, I mean, all we ever do is the diagonal ball to Smith. That is our outlet. If you watch the video on pre-season training when we were in Austria, they released a 10-minute training clip of like how we were playing. Same thing every single time, the diagonal ball to Smith. So fans knew we were going to do that. That's fine. But no, but to do it 20 times a game, every single game, it's so bloody obvious. It's fine if the delivery is great. And he is one-on-one with the left back. Takes him on, put a good ball in. But when the ball in is rubbish, then it's a complete waste of time. We even tried it. There was a point, Adoma had come on and Chair, like, he beat two men. He looked up to spray the ball over there and he was like, it's Adoma. This is silly. Like, I don't need to do that. I'll just pass it short. But, I mean, thought it was interesting because Zell got booked.
Adoma, I thought he did all right when he came on. I was obviously like,
He didn't do too badly, but is that, are we sunk to the level where we're like, oh, that was fine? Or like, not even fine? Like, I don't want to say he was a 5 out of 10 because that sounds like he was really bad, but didn't really offer a lot. He was just, fine.
He tracked back, didn't he? I think Birmingham was an okay cameo from him as well. And I've not been impressed with him the last 6 months or so, but. Birmingham, he set up the chance for Dykes. Yeah, I mean, Leeds, he was tracking back and winning a lot, interceptions and seemed to carry the ball a little bit better than, others were doing. But you're right, maybe the standard that they're at right now is so low that anything like half competent is looking pretty good. But you're talking about what we could do to change it up. I mean, you could go flat back four, you could try a 4-2-3-1 with, two and out and out wingers, Smith on the left or Domer on the right or Armstrong on the right or Chair as in a 10 and Dykes as a striker. I mean, it's just, but what Ben's point I agree with, it's just, we can set up with three at the back like we're doing, But if it's not working, where's the flexibility to change it in game? Doesn't seem to be that good. And it's that's hindering us right now. In again, Brad alluded, though, what have we got on the bench? But if we haven't got much on the bench, then maybe shift the players around a little bit on the pitch and see if that brings any more joy. I don't see much dynamism or, you know, players swapping positions, wingers swapping, or, you know, strikers moving about much. So, you know, to put the start of the season into context, I mean, 8 points from 10 league games, lowest points return at this championship level after 10 games since 2007-08. We've got 7 points. So, you know, we've lost 6 of our 10 league games. That's our joint most defeats in our first 10 in a non-top flight season. So it's just like, it's not looking great, is it, for Ainsworth? And I know Dunk's not his biggest fan, and be tempted to make a change right now. I mean, me personally, and, you know, breaks my heart to say it, I love Ainsworth, but I don't see him turning it around at this point.
Dunk?
I think there's a massive difference between, like, obviously we're of a generation where we remember Ainsworth the player and there's Ainsworth the manager. And I think too many fans can't see the difference. And he just isn't the right man for us at the minute. And like you said, like, he's tactically, he's not able to, like, read the game and change it in game. He's like, what really struck me was in the summer when we spoke to him, he said, I don't like loan players. Yet we've done so well in recent years with the loan markets with certain players that have come in that we would normally have a loan player or two on the bench to change the game. And we've got none this year. Like, you can't tell me the club haven't got a couple of, like, 100K to put for a loan deal. On, like, a kid who's not going to be on massive wages, or somebody who's not going to be on horrendous wages. That gives us options. I feel like, as much as I'm not rating Ainsworth, I don't feel it's all completely his fault. I do feel at some point we've got to talk about how the club is being run again, because we are free falling, and that's not the manager's fault. That's how the club is being run from a higher up level.
But it feels like Ainsworth has already lost the dressing room. I don't know if that's harsh to say. Oh, we don't know because we don't see it week in, week out. But even like Jack said, the body language yesterday, we lost the battle before we even got off the team bus. That's what it felt like. You know what I mean? Has he lost the players? Is it because he's dropped Willock? And little things like that, does it affect? Do you know what I mean? It's a weird one. But the thing with Ainsworth is, I know a lot of fans, it's like 50-50 on social media at the minute. People saying get rid. People saying keep him. Let's be honest, can we really afford to get rid? Can we afford to get rid of him?
That's where it becomes, and who wants to manage us?
Exactly.
If we said who?
Warnock's there, isn't he?
Well, he's got Rotherham potentially, he's got Sheffield Wednesday. Les has left, but does he want to come back to us?
If Ainsworth goes anytime, I don't think he will, but if he does go any time in the next month or two, he'll be in with a big chance of getting the job, I think. With Les gone as well, we need to get through this season desperately. I don't know, it kind of feels...
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
That's the way it would go. But I understand, it's difficult, isn't it? Like you've all said, he's a player, we like him. I think we all want him to do well. No one doesn't want him to do well. I've said many times, it feels like he's going in the right direction. I feel like he knows what he's doing. But then just... like football, it just quickly changes, doesn't it? A couple of good victories and it could all change again, right? But he's on the... It does, right? Because that's where he is at the moment, right? But
where do you see these victories coming? I don't know.
That's the point.
That's the thing, is it? I just don't see what game we win anytime soon.
And the more this home run goes on, the harder it's going to get, because you cannot pick up the wins that we keep picking away. It won't happen. Like, we have to sort that home form out to have any chance of staying up. So he needs to nail that. And going to your point, Jack, he's going to have no choice but to change it on Saturday because we're back to this injury situation again, which is just never ending. Like, it's just like, I was watching the game going, well, who's going to drop down injured in the next 10 minutes? And lo and behold, Colback's, you know, I don't know, he looked like he was injured from the start, to be honest.
He carried on though, didn't he?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know whether we took him off because we knew Field was suspended and we rested him, I don't know. But it looked like Cook and Fox are going to be out because we're going to be playing Jimmy Dunn, who's had 20 minutes of football, and Mark Salter, who really probably shouldn't play Saturday, right, with the amount of game time he's had. We've got Kakai there, who I don't know. I don't really want to say what I think, really, I don't think, but... He's really so poor. I mean, just look at the last four or five goals we've conceded. I guarantee you he's done something wrong in all of them. I mean, if he's any other player other than coming through our ranks, he would just get a completely different reception. I appreciate that he tries hard and he has a good 20 minutes here, a good 10 minutes there, and he'll make a good run here or a good cross there. But if you look at him overall in a game and analyse him, pretty poor.
Well, we've always said he's a backup player, like at this level, at best, right? Just someone that fills the squad, can come in an emergency and do a job, you know, best 6 out of 10. But he started pretty much every game, or if not every game. He might be one of the only players that have done that this season. And
every minute, hasn't he?
Yeah, like that, yeah. We shouldn't be in a position where, you know, all due respect to him, you know, I mean, it's great that he's come through the youth team and he's stuck at it and he's persevered and shown great determination. And this weekend, be his 100th appearance at QPR, but we're not a charity. At the same time, we can't, you know, we've got to have a higher standard than that, you know, in my opinion. And yeah, let's see if we can get Cannon in the team, because I think it will come in for Kakai.
Is Kakai the symbolism of where we are as a team and as a club then? I.e. someone whose top level is a 7 out of 10. Like, constantly people are like, or not sure, I'm very worried when they're on the ball, off the ball, anywhere around the ball, mistakes. Like, you want players who come through the youth system to do well, but I think that's it. Maybe we should do this throughout the season. Which player symbolises the club right now? And right now it is him. And you think back to how good we were at, well, the beginning of last season and the season before, and we would be saying, oh, Ilias Chair symbolises like where we are as a team and as a club. But
I think where we are at a team at this point in time is we don't know what the word confidence means. We've got no confidence in the whole squad. I know we're just pinpointing Kakai because he is being not the best and he does look like a headless chicken sometimes out there, but it's the whole squad. We've got no confidence. You could see even last night, Dykes was on the ball. I don't even think he looked up where he was passing it. He just hit it. Went straight back to him.
You don't want him getting the ball, though, where he was getting the ball at Leeds. He was getting the ball, like, in our half, like, right.
He's a professional football player. Still pass it to a red and black top.
Agree. But
there's no confidence, you know. Where's the old Chair gone? But like you said, Chair's not getting in the right position. So he's pulling back to get the ball, but he's passing it to Sink up top, and it's just not working, is it?
I'm not usually advocating like mid-season managerial changes, and God knows we had loads last season, but we know there's a manager out of work that is one of the best in the game, putting his arm around players who are lacking a bit of confidence and G'ing them up. And yeah, his football stylistically might not be that great, but you know Neil Warnock would come in, get Chair, his arm round Chair, round Willock, round Dykes, and he make them feel 10 feet tall, get them playing, as he says, with a smile on their faces. And I can't help but just think what that scenario looks like to the end of the season. I'm not saying it's a long-term solution, and I'm not saying we should do that now, but I do think that Amit Bhatti is close with Warnock, as he is with Ainsworth. You know, there's no Les Ferdinand in the way now to block a Warnock appointment. Is it more realistic now than it was a few years ago? I mean, I don't know what you guys think about the Warnock. You know, it's been done a million times, but would you have him if we get
started? Well, it's one of them though, isn't it? It's like jumping back on an old timeline. We just keep getting these people that have been there, done that with us. Do you know what I mean? We did it with Austin. We're doing it with Ainsworth. Let's get him back. Let's get him back. We need a new bit of sauce, don't we? We need a new manager who's going to come in and just, I know Ainsworth hasn't worked, but it's not working. Not to say that it won't work. Like, I can't sit here and say it's not, he's failed, because if he, you know, he pulls out 3 wins in the next 3 weeks, after the international as well, I look like an idiot. But, you know, there's no other manager out there really that we can afford, is there?
We can only get someone who isn't in a job, because we can't pay money for somebody.
Yeah, but we've got to pay Ainsworth out, right?
Yeah, but it doesn't work. It doesn't
work. There'd be an agreement, wouldn't there?
Yeah, there's like a break clause, and you pay it over a time. Oh. And if he gets a new job, then you don't have to pay it. It's stuff like that. So, yeah.
Isn't there a little manager out there who's got a good reputation with, like, doing good with squads?
He's got a good relationship with one group of fans. Yeah, that's about it.
No, but he's good at getting the best out of a cheap squad and a lack of budget. Someone the fan base could get behind.
I guess I've got a question. Is the championship, right? Answer it honestly, all of you. Is the championship out of Ainsworth's depth as a manager?
Yes.
I think it's looking that way, yeah.
Chris, what do you reckon?
Yeah, I think Jack and I share a very similar opinion here, because we were quite happy when he came in, and he was such a hero of our youth that kind of reaching the stage where you're like, I think he's got to go. It's so difficult words for us to like come out of our mouth. But I think Ben nailed it. 2 games can change a lot. Like 2 games ago, or maybe 3 games ago, when we were like, oh, where are you on the Ainsworth fence? And I was like, oh, I'm over the fence and I'm in the Ainsworth Field of Dreams. Well, I can tell you what, I'm definitely back on the fence right now. And that's how quickly things change. But it's when he says after the game yesterday, like, oh, well, we're definitely going to beat Blackburn.
Why does he do that every week?
He needs to stop saying it, because players buy in and they have belief when they can actually see it. There's nothing. If he went back in the dressing room, he was like, boys, we're going to win Saturday. They'd be looking around being like, we offered nothing today. How do you suddenly think we're going to win? And if you can't have that, if you can't truly generate the belief, because if fans are the most optimistic people, right? Saturday morning, I don't think the five of us will suddenly all feel positive Saturday morning. But fans are more likely to do that than players, in my opinion, because that's just how fans are made up. But I won't be going to that game being like, we are going to win today. I'm going to be going, well, I'm going because it's almost your duty and I've got a season ticket and I still love going. But I'm expecting nothing. Like I'm leaving the ground all the time, just being like, that's just.
But he doesn't help himself, though, does he?
Worn down.
In interviews, he doesn't help himself up. You know, even the post yesterday after Leeds, he just always sees a positive and he's always has a little smirk and the boys have put, I know I've got a good squad. The boys put it in. Come on, the table's showing different. How many times can he keep saying it? You know what I mean? Just come out and say, look,
I think that goes down to the fragility of the squad we have in this terms of players. I think if he comes out and throws any of those players under the bus, especially the likes of people like Chair, Dizel, Ozzy, any of those like younger players, they're gone. They are literally, their confidence will be in their boots. They're not old pros. They can't take the criticism that, say, a Colback or a Cook could take. And I think that is a problem throughout modern football, not just with us. Yeah. But I've always said with a manager that it's exactly the same as all players. They have a ceiling. They have a level they all get to. And Ainsworth is, I think, brilliant for League One. I think he's a good League One manager, but I don't think he can make the step up the Championship. Like we've all said, Ozzy would probably do well in a League One team. He's just not cut out for Championship. It's the same principle.
He's got to learn quickly. He's not got it. He's done a good job in setting expectation with QPR fans. We've all know that it's going to be a struggle this season. We all know we're going to be down there. We all know there's going to be some tough games ahead, right? He's done really well at drilling that home to us all, right? I think. But we can't just keep losing every. We can't just not win at home. We can't. That
can just not continue, like, just because the boys have given everything, because we've got injuries, which we now have. Soon it will wear thin, won't it? And actually, I get your point is right, actually. Although it is frustrating to listen and hear it, and bloody annoying that in the first 30 seconds he said we played some nice stuff and that we didn't show them too much respect. I mean, we're not stupid. No, we did play nice stuff and we definitely did show them respect, right? Frustrating, but he's got to do all that sort of stuff because he knows his team's fragile. It's the same group of players, isn't it? But most of them saw Warburton, the end of Warburton, and a lot of them saw the end of Critchley. Look at it. There's the majority of the same players. They're still there. So he's got to be convinced what he said in the dressing room, isn't it, that matters. And he needs to be making something needs to change quickly, doesn't it? Otherwise, is the pressure really going to start building on him?
Not going to change overnight, though, is it? Not with the depth of that squad. It's not going to change overnight.
It's going to take a bit of luck and a bit something different, isn't it, tactically? I think the fans at home have been unbelievable. I can't believe it, right?
Yeah, couldn't believe it on Saturday. Not that we want to boo in, but I didn't hear any frustration when we were 3-0 down, anything.
It's probably a mixture of like apathy, but there's also some support, you know, generally still there for Ainsworth. But you can't, as you say, you've got to nail the home form. It will be the noose that, you know, tightens on him, unfortunately, because I completely agree with what you said earlier, that the away form, picking up decent, you know, wins and points away from home might not be sustainable for a club like QPR with this squad. So you've got to start, you know, churning out, you know, some more points at home. But if we win against Blackburn, suddenly, you know, as Chris has been saying, back on the fence, think, you know, not as, you know, anti-Ainsworth or anything like that, but it will look a bit rosier. And with the international breaks, some injuries, players can catch up on those and get back. But if it goes the other way, you know, but there could be a decision to make with the international break there. That's all I'm saying. And I think in the pre-match press conference for Leeds, Ainsworth referenced he had a chat with the owners and about form. And there was a little, I can't remember the exact wording, but there was definitely like he seemed a little bit agitated by it when he was talking about it. Like, you know, so, you know, spoke to the owners this week. They're, you know, aware of the form, you know, want things to improve, kind of along that sort of context. And then we go and, you know, a meek 1-0 defeat against Leeds. It shows that maybe there is a bit of pressure behind the scenes on Ainsworth, but I guess time will tell.
I think, yeah, Saturday is so key, like you say. We've talked a lot about confidence here. If you can win before the international break, that's next 2 weeks. Suddenly there's a buzz around the training ground. People will be in a positive mood. We'll be in positive mood as fans because we've finally seen the home win. And then you've got Huddersfield away next game. Massive game. They're going to be bottom three as well. Or like bottom 4 or 5. I'm saying a lot of ifs here, but if you can win both of those games, or at least get a point at home and then beat Huddersfield, yeah, then confidence can tick up and players will start buying back into him saying, no, look, we are good, we will pick up. But if you don't, God, then, I mean, I love Ilias Chair as a player, but if I'm him, I must be thinking, what am I doing in this team at the moment? I'm getting the ball so deep. I'm trying everything here and I haven't got a lot of stuff around me. There's no one like that looks as if they can do anything with him. So
it goes out to the right, doesn't it? All the time. Goes to Smith if it's going to go anywhere. Goes out that side.
And like, if there's going to come a point, right, this season where Cherry's going to play a ball, he's going to do something, and he's going to throw his hands up in the air and scream at someone. And if one person boos him, it's utterly ridiculous because he must be so frustrated coming off on games all the time. And that's why the Willock thing, to me, it's a tough one. Like, dropping him is fine, but there are a lot of players in that squad who will be like, we've had Chris Willock and he was amazing. So getting rid of him completely and never playing him, it's a big decision, isn't it?
It's sort of similar to Dyke's, though, isn't it, up top? Let's be honest. He'll probably play an international for Scotland and score. It's just people criticise Dyke's, but I can't picture, or I can't even remember him even getting a ball in that sort of dangerous area that Dyke's wants it against Leeds. Or against Do you know what I mean? He doesn't get it. So for Dykes, that's why we're sitting and we think, where's he playing? Because he's coming so deep. He doesn't get the ball. We don't know where he's playing. And that's our problem. We've got nothing going forward. And when Smith does go forward, he loses it. Or Chair tries to do something, but he's come from too deep. That's the problem. I can't see where goals are going to come from. Where are they going to come?
It's an issue. It's a huge issue. Yeah. And it was always an issue. We all said in the summer we needed a striker. It was unbelievable we didn't get one. And lo and behold, we can't score a goal, really.
I'll tell you where they're not coming from. They're not coming from long throws. And it's absolute bollocks insistent on doing it every effing throw. Even to the stage where when Smith's off the pitch, getting subbed with a supposed long throw, Adoma, who definitely does not have a long throw, is still trying a long throw. That is the point where I'm like, there is a massive tactical problem here that no one is going, what are we doing? Honestly, like, I think that's the point. I truly lost it last night. Like, if you practice them, fine. And if in training someone is actually running towards the ball and winning the flick on, and maybe we're getting a shot off a goal, great. But we're loading up a long throw, and every fan is being like, well, this is going absolutely nowhere. What is the point of this?
Well, because we've only got Dykes who can win a header, and they put three on him. They put they put two in front of him and one behind him. He's never going to win. It's just pointless.
There was one on Saturday where like he started on the front post and he flicked the ball on his knees. And that was the best opportunity we had.
I'm under the impression that Ainsworth and Dobson, Kate, had the reputation for like being set piece like gurus almost. There was some invention with Wickham, and they were arguably one of the best at set piece goals. And then I was expecting us to at least, the football might not be pretty, but we might be quite efficient off those. Yeah. I know a lot of that is down to who's taking the set pieces and who you've got in the box. But
beats the first man.
Exactly. But we've got the joint fewest goals and set pieces this season. I know goals come at a premium for us as well, but they're certainly, as you know, Chris says, they're not coming from long throws and not really coming from corners or free kicks either. So but
when you've got Ilias Chair who can't find anybody from a corner for the last three or four seasons, like, it doesn't matter what corner specialist you get in, unless they're telling him, like, actually how to kick a corner in, that's the difference. We could have all the tactics in the box, all the little groups of players on the edge of the box running this way, that way. If the ball ain't getting in there, that's nothing we can do.
Who was our last good set piece taker? Like, because it's all kind of blurred. I can't remember. It was like genuinely like really dangerous. I know Padula was really good.
Padula.
How far are we going back a long time? Yeah.
Bazaki, yeah.
Bazaki was good. There must have been someone recent. Freeman was decent.
Freeman and Eze, potentially.
What about Junior Hoylett? Whips it in the box, did he? Bobby Zamora!
Let's go on, Doug.
I was just going to say, I think the problem is we don't create anything. We could have the best striker in the world, but all the crosses that go in our box don't go anywhere near him. You could have Harry Kane up front for us, and he ain't going to score any goals. He'll get no service.
Dykes, I think how deep Harry Kane would be coming in this team to get the ball and try to do something.
He'd be playing like sweeper.
Him and Chair in our own box, kicking the ball.
You look
to
how
each
deep
other.
Dykes played yesterday. He was in goal.
That was a weird thing to. That was weird.
We're losing 1-0, right? And you put Dykes in goal.
I mean, we weren't going to score, but what? Adoma was spot on. Like, why would you? I can't even finish my words because I can't believe it. But why would you take a striker off and put him in goal when you're 1-0 down?
Is it because Dykes is the only person who is willing to go in goal?
No, Adoma wanted it. The gloves. He wanted
Adoma
it.
Tried to grab the gloves off him and tell him, you need you up front. And
But Dykes, that's out of necessity, isn't it? That's necessity.
Adoma wanted to be a wonder keeper there, didn't he? He wanted to pull off some camera save, and he's a legend forever ours, forever.
Or does it show how little confidence Dykes has that he's actually going to score?
Yeah. He looked well happy when he went in goal, smiling all sorts, like it was a dream.
Oh, did he
call
you?
That's what I mean. Like, he might have been a goalie in his youth days.
Well, didn't he used to play American, Australian football?
Australian rules.
Quickly then, Blackburn, I mean, looking at everything, it's probably as easy a game as we could want, you know, aside from Sheffield Wednesday, really. They're on really bad form, letting the most goals in the league, not very good away from home.
It's a must win,
Brad,
isn't it?
All right. We can't
buzzing, lining up to be great.
I mean, it's one of them, isn't it? Let's be honest. We all know we supported QPR for years. It's one of them. They'll probably come to QPR and beat us 5-0, and they'll break a. Do you know what I mean? They'll break a record against us or something. That's just the QPR way. But it's a must win. It's a must win game. It really is. You know, not even though it's early doors and we're down there, but it's a must win for Ainsworth. It really is. He must look at this and look at those figures you've just mentioned and say, right, if my back is against the wall, if I don't win this, I'm going to really lose them, because he's starting to lose the fans already, but he needs to pull something out of the bag. But I can't see where it's going to come from with that depth and squad. I just can't see it.
Zach, what do you think, mate?
Yeah, I actually don't think we'll lose it. I think it'll be a draw. I think we're going to set that club record winless run at home. We're going to get to 11 games without a win. But I also think a draw doesn't necessarily get him, you know, sacked or anything like that. I think it prolongs it, and I think it kind of drags out a bit more, which, you know, is what it is. But I think a draw, 0-0. Don't think we're going to score. Blackburn might have the leakiest defence, but we've got one of those poorest attacks. So I think it'll be 0-0.
Dunk.
Well, I was going to say, you said that Blackburn's away form's terrible. Our home form's terrible.
Yeah.
Like, they got the leakiest defence. We've got one of the worst attacks. Like, it's just all set up for a 0-0 draw, isn't it? Like, it's going to be probably the worst game of football ever recorded.
We've got that Shamodix up top as well. I don't know why he was handful in against us. Chris, what do you reckon, mate?
2-1 loss. We've scored at home 3 games in a row. I think we somehow managed to continue that, but probably be a last-minute goal that doesn't count for anything. Yeah,
I've lost all
positivity.
Who's going to play centre midfield?
Duke McKenna and Andre Dizel.
I mean, that doesn't fill me with much confidence.
What about Dixon Bonner?
I think, what, is Colback actually out, is he?
Well,
he's definitely not out, is he?
He didn't look great, I've got to say. It didn't look great, but maybe we took him off because we knew the field was suspended.
We're finally going to see Kenneth Powell in central midfield.
West London Sport have just released, though, haven't they, that Willock is looking likely to be put back in the squad.
Yeah, I just said that, be recalled. Because he was left out.
Yeah.
Did they come out and say he had a knock? Did you say that? Did they say anything after the team was out that he had a knock or anything like that? I didn't see an injury or something.
I didn't see anything, but
normally they say that, don't they? If he had a knock already, they say, oh, he's got a knock.
It'd be interesting to know that, because obviously they got that 2003-04 reunion tonight, haven't they? They're all there. Richard Langley, Furlong, Ainsworth. Be interested to see if the fans are going, right? That's what it's there for. Be interested to see if the fans see what they say to Ainsworth and that. Do you know what I mean? Will they just forget about it and let him enjoy his night, or will they say to him?
Now, this is the I think Clive made a similar point about the fans. The fans who go to this, they're like your most hardcore. Love the club. I mean, every fan loves the club, right? But like, there are people who really love it and are positive all the time. And again, it's not the night where you want to take away from that. We're remembering a great team. That was one of my first seasons. I had a season ticket and it was phenomenal to watch. I was a lot younger. It's so exciting to watch all the time. I mean, we were winning. So kind of feels like it was that long ago, 20 years since we did win a home game sometimes.
Right then, lads. Yeah, I mean, it's so annoying, isn't it, that we have to be like this? And, you know, I think we all want to be a little bit positive, and we all want to, you know, I don't think any of us are anti-Ainsworth or have an agenda, certainly not, but I think we do have an agenda and anti-losing, and we want to win football matches, right?
What was your prediction, Ben?
I struggle with the team, I'm honest. Salter centre back partnership doesn't fill me with much confidence either that one of them isn't going to get injured. Then what do we do? I don't think Reggie Cadd is going to be playing.
Could Richards be back?
Richards won't be back. And then Ainsworth's going to have to go with his tail between his legs back to Chris Willock and go, oh, you're in the squad now. I've just left you out, but I need you. Sadly, we've got injuries. I need you. It's hardly inspiring, isn't it? So, you know, imagine if you were him. I mean, there's probably more going on in the background, but as we see it, you know, it doesn't look great.
But players can take that one or two ways, right? Willock could be like, okay, I'm back in it. I'm going to prove to you that I should be in the squad all the time and I should be starting games. And if you play me and Jed together, gets the best out of him and I can show what I can do.
If he's proven it, he's only going to prove it for himself to go in, let's be honest.
I'd be very surprised. But we have to play him to get the best out of him. Don't we? Otherwise, we leave him out, like Doug said. We leave him out, we play him. I'm not sure there's a middle ground in. We just play him 45 minutes here, 10 minutes there, which is not going to get anything out of him doing that. I don't know if anyone agrees or disagrees with that.
Doug? Well, it's just such a difficult kind of balancing act because he's not got back in the team on merit. So Ainsworth's lost that battle instantly of I've dropped you for a reason. But now I've got to come, like you said, come with his tail between the legs. Willett can just go, like, this is what happens. The team's so poor without me. You need me anyway. That even if I don't bother, like, picking up my tools and actually trying to, like, get back in the team on my own merit. And it's obviously, it's all like assumptions that we assume that's why Chrissy Willett was dropped. We don't know. But on his day, he is still a talent.
I'd like to see Smith, Willick and Cher as like behind Dykes. That's what I'd like to see. But without Field in there, I don't know whether that would be possible when we leave ourselves too open. I don't know. But we'll have to see. All right, lads. Well, we'll leave it there. We'll get together again next week. It needs another international break. So let's hope we can get a win on Saturday and then have a bit more of a upbeat podcast next week.
So anything else? Boys.
Nothing else? All right. Yours.
Yours.
3 days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.